Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, almost halfway down the Omid. You'll notice a Mishnah, 16 lines from the top. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei topic heading, Mivneh structural note. In our Mishnah, we will feature a diamond marking, and on the side, we indicate Shnei Mikrei Edus. There are two examples of testimony, Shebohem Chokin Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Kiva, where you'll see the Tanoim, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, arguing Be'inyan Hashpoa Sa'edios regarding the influence or effect of the testimonies al Tsarasa and Chamosa regarding a co-wife and a mother-in-law. We should point out, just for review purposes, in our previous year we had learned that there are five women that are not believed to testify concerning the death of someone's husband. And we got into the reasons for them in our previous Mishnah, but the basic idea is that they would not tell the truth. They would lie because of some kind of personal consideration, as we explained there. Now, our Mishnah. Ho'isha shaholcha hiu bailo minsayam. A woman who went along with her husband abroad. Uba v'omra. She came and reported. Meis ba'ali. My husband died. Tinose v'titol ksuba. So she can remarry and collect the ksuba financial guarantee that a married woman is entitled to receive. Vitsarasa asura, if the woman who comes back happened to be a co-wife, one of two wives, so the co-wife, hearing this information that the husband is dead, cannot remarry. This, of course, we saw in our previous shiur, where one co-wife cannot offer testimony of Meis Bali to benefit the other co-wife. Hoysa Bas Yisrael L'Kohen, if the co-wife was the daughter of a Yisrael, a family that is not entitled to eat truma, but the husband is a Kohen. Tocha B'truma, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. This Mishnah illustrates, Rabbi Tarfon illustrates, how far we go in not believing the testimony of Meis Bali with regard to a co-wife. As far as the co-wife is concerned, the husband is still alive. And as a result, she continues eating truma, which is an entitlement that the wife of a Kohen receives. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Ein zu derech motziosa midei aveira. This isn't the way to spare them of sin. Ad shete asura linose veasura milechol betruma. She, on the one hand, cannot remarry. The co-wife cannot remarry. On the other hand, she cannot eat of truma. We did not highlight with a special marking this phrase of Ein zu derech motziosa midei aveira, but it's important to note that this reaction of Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Tarfon appears a number of additional times throughout today's shiur. We continue in our mission with another case. Omra meis ba'ali v'achakach meis chami. A woman says, my husband died, and then my father-in-law died. Tinose betitok subasa v'chamosa asura. The woman herself who spoke, testified, can remarry and she collects her ksuba. However, the mother-in-law cannot benefit from the testimony said. We learned in our previous year that a daughter-in-law is not accepted with regard to testimony concerning the mother-in-law. Now, this mother-in-law, Hoysa Bas Yisrael Kain, Teichal B'Truma, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. If she was a Bas Yisrael but married to a Kohen, just like we saw in the Reisha of the Mishnah, this mother-in-law will continue eating Truma as if the husband is still alive. Rabbi Akiva Omer Einzu Derech Motzia Midei Avera. This is not the way to spare someone of sin. Ashite Asur Linosa. Yes, she cannot remarry because the information was given by a daughter-in-law. On the other hand, the Asura Milechol B'Trumat. But Rabbi Akiva takes a very, we'll say, conservative approach, a restrictive approach, and that is she cannot continue eating from Truma. The Gemara continues with a long point. It's a Tzrichusa, Tzricha. Why do I need both of these cases? We have a Machlokes, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, as we numbered in the Mishnah, number 1 and 2. In the first case, we saw a machlokas concerning how to deal with the tsara, and how, in the second case, how to deal with the mother-in-law. So we need both cases. Tzricha. Di'i itmar hach komaisa. Had we taught the first case regarding the co-wife, beha koma Rabbi Tarfon. There, Rabbi Tarfon says there's no ne'emonus of one co-wife regarding the other co-wife. Mishum de tsara de gufa, because of the experience of personal pain. When you have two women married to one man, so naturally the amount of intimacy that a second wife will have is restricted because of the presence of a first wife, and vice versa. So in such a case, where it's tsara de gufa, so there's a real deep interest in one trying to mess up the other. So you'll have a woman coming and saying, our husband is dead, in the hopes of seeing to it that the co-wife remarries when the husband is still really not dead, and hence you have all of this non-believability. Avol. And when we say non-believability, again, we want to emphasize it's non-believability with regard to the second party. Avol. Chamoisa. With regard to a daughter-in-law testifying about a mother-in-law, what is the pain that a daughter-in-law experiences? The tzara mili de alma. It's the pain of insults, of words, where the mother-in-law would tell all kinds of bad things to her son about the daughter-in-law. So a daughter-in-law experiences a certain amount of tsar, but Emo modi lay l'Rabbi Kiva. Maybe Rabbi Tarfon there would concede to Rabbi Kiva that there's a little bit of believability, and we should choshesh l'chumra. We should consider the reliability of the testimony that the father-in-law died when the result is a stringency to prevent the mother-in-law from continuing eating truma. So had I taught just the case of the tzora, the first case, I might have thought that in the second case Rabbi Tarfon would concede to Rabbi Akiva's ruling preventing the mother-in-law from eating truma, be it marbaha, and had we had just the hamosa case, the second case, baha come Rabbi Akiva. Maybe only here Rabbi Akiva says that we grant a bit of believability to the daughter-in-law's testimony. Avol baha chema modo le Rabbi Tarfon. But in the case of the tzara, maybe Rabbi Akiva would concede to Rabbi Tarfon that the co-wife information has no relevance whatsoever vis-a-vis the second co-wife, and the second co-wife, even Rabbi Akiva would say, could continue eating truma. Komash malon, or rather tzricha, therefore it's necessary to spell out both cases with each one's respective opinion. Omar Bihuda, Omar Shmuel, Halacha Karebi Tarfon. Shmuel rules like Rebbe Tarfon, as we saw in the Mishnah. Omar Abaye, Af Anan Nami Tanina. And we have the following also to support this. The Gemara here makes a point. You see, it's a long point to the end of the Omid. Nitanli, and we should note that this is a quote from a Mishnah that we see later on. Mirza Shem, we'll see it later in today's Shiur. The Mishnah teaches, Nitan li ben b'medinas hayam. A woman who had departed from our community with a status of being childless, and hence zakuka liibum. And the woman tells us that when she comes back from abroad, she says, I had a son abroad, meis b'ni v'achakach bali, but that child that I had died, and then my husband died. In other words, my husband died childless. Nemenis, she is believed, and the result of that would be that she would do yibum. This same woman, however, if she says ba'ali v'acharkach bini, that my husband died leaving a child, eventually though the child died, but with that information she's changing her original known status, because she originally was known as a woman that was zakuka, that had a zika to yibum. With this information, testifying that her husband died with a child, leaving a child, that's making her unrelated or disconnected from Yibum. Eino Nemenis. Well, she's not believed with what she said, namely, she's not believed to be allowed to marry Lashuk unless she receives Chalitza. V'choyshishin lidvoreha v'choyletzes v'lo misyabemes. Now, the Abaye wants to make a point here. He says, when you read this quote from the Mishnah, we can infer as follows. Lidvoreo hu dechoshishin. With regard to her words, we pay attention. We take into consideration what she is saying. And as a result, we didn't allow her to marry Lashuk without having Chalitza. We don't allow Yibum, though. So her words we take into consideration. Ha ledivrei tzora ein choshishin. Regarding the words of a co-wife, we wouldn't pay attention to at all. One co-wife regarding the other co-wife, we don't pay attention to at all. Shma mino. This shows how we follow Rebbe Tarfon. Just a detail that we didn't focus on, but the source that we just read is that choshishin ledvoreha, that we do take into consideration what she said, that is manifest by the halacha of lo misyabemes. After all, this woman was saying, she was changing her chazaka, she was saying that her husband died and then her son died, making her non-zakuka to the yavam. She was trying to say that she should be free to marry Lashuk, but we are machmir, we say we don't believe her, and therefore we do insist on Chalitza. However, we do take into consideration what she's saying by not allowing her to do Yibum. After all, she's saying that her husband died, leaving a child. That's a woman that would not do Yibum. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, new Mishnah. On this Omid, you'll notice that there is an extensive use of a crown shape marking. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, a machlokis Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Tarfon b'shnei mikrim, two cases over in which they argue, kidesh and gezel, a case of marriage, a case of theft, shebohem toyein, where you have someone claiming eini yodea mi kidashti mi gazalti. Someone saying, I don't know who I married. I don't know who I stole from. In both of these cases, there's an issue of finances, of payment that must be made, but the man is saying, I don't know to whom I owe the money. And as we said, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon will be arguing. Now, the crown is featured under the Mivneh heading. The crown whose point is facing up, these are Noisim Hashnui B'machlokas. These are topics that are the subject of controversy. The inverted crown will reflect a case where there is no machlokas. We are also going to use a trapezoid, a volcano shape, to introduce the expression loy nechleku. We continue now with the Mishnah. Kidesh achas michomesh noshem v'ein yodea e zo kish. A man married one of five women, he doesn't know whom. Kol achas omeres osi kidesh. Each one of the women is claiming, I'm the one he married. Noisein get l'chol achas v'achas. The man is expected to give a divorce document to each one. Umeniach ksuba meineam umestalik. And the amount of money that he would owe to one woman, he takes that amount, that ksuba value, he puts down amongst the five umestalik, and he walks away. Basically, let them straighten out matters between themselves. That's Rabbi Tarf, Divrei Rabbi Tarf, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Zu Derech Motzi Midei Avera. Notice this expression we saw on Omid Aleph, and we pointed out that we would see it again. Here it is. Rabbi Akiva is saying that this is not the way to avoid sin. Ad Shiitein Get Uksuba L'chol Achas V'achas. Not only must a get be given to each woman to free her, but the suba, the financial obligation must be met out with each one as well. Gozal echod michamisha vein yodea meize gozal. Man stole from one of five people, and he doesn't know from whom. Kol echod omer osi gozal. Each one is claiming, I am the one from whom he stole. Miniach zeilo beineim umestalek divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says it's enough for him to leave the quantity, the single quantity that was stolen amongst them, and he, the thief, walks away, and let them figure out to whom the money goes. That's Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva Omein Zuderach Motzi Midei Avero. This is not the way to escape sin. Ad Shishalem L'chol Echod V'Echod. Until he would pay each one. The Gemara opens up with an inference. Our Mishnah featured two cases, and they were highlighted with the crown shape. Each one of the cases leaves room for inferring something else. Kidesh Katani. The Mishnah taught that in a case of Kidesh, you have a machlokis Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Kiva. Bo'al lo Katani. Now, we're assuming that Kidesh means a man gave money to a woman in anticipation of, or in exchange for her accepting marriage. That is the case concerning which Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva argue. However, if he had intimacy with her, intimacy, of course, in consummating the marriage, lo katani. That's not taught as a controversial case. In other words, there will be agreement there. When we speak about Bo'al, we should understand that in the initial phase of marriage, there are different methods of accomplishing the initial phase of marriage, and that's through, one is giving money, another is contractual, and a third way is through intimacy. The Gemara continues, Gozal Kotoni, that is taught, featured as a case of controversy. Lokach lo Kotoni. Lokach means a purchase. A man says, I purchased an item from one of five vendors, but I don't know from whom. the inverted crown indicates that regarding a case of Boal or Lokach, there would be no controversy between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. Moni Masnisen, our Mishnah is in accordance with whom? Lo Tanakamo, velo Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer. Now, we did see names in our Mishnah. So, the issue here is the presentation of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva on the part of a later Tanaic authority. We don't know which later Tanaic authority is the presenter of our Mishnah. In fact, regarding the cases mentioned, we find a Tanakama, we find a Rabbi Shimon that present Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, but in a different way than we saw in our Mishnah. So we're asking, our Mishnah is in accordance with whom? It doesn't seem to be in accordance with the Tanakama, and by the way, the reference to the Tanakama is going to be highlighted after we go through a long Tanaic source that you can see in a frame. So don't be surprised if you don't see a Tanakama immediately. His opinion will be brought out later. So the question is, and you can see we have a long question marking, according to whom is our Mishnah? Who is the presenter of the Machlokes that we saw in our Mishnah? Just as by way of a brief overview, before we learn the actual text, what makes a Gemara like this, which technically speaking is a rather simple piece of Gemara, but you should realize that we are dealing with many variables. First of all, we're dealing with four cases. We're dealing with that which was mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, and that which was inferred from the Mishnah, which will be explicit in the upcoming Brice. There are four cases. We have a little chart on the side. This chart features the Havamina, in other words, the question stage of the Gemara. So that you have four cases. You can see they're running down the right-hand column of this chart. Kidesh, Boal, Gozal, Lokach. Across the top, there are three Tanaic opinions. Again, according to the Havamina. And they are our Mishnah's presentation of the Machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. The Tanakama's presentation. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer's presentation. So the Mishnah we already learned, together with the inference. What did the Mishnah say? So looking down the first column, or the column entitled Mishnah, regarding Kidesh, we saw it was a Machlokas. That was the crown, by the way, that was featured with the points upwards. Machlokas, Pligi. Regarding Boal, we inferred Lo Pligi. Hence you saw the inverted crown around the word Boal. Gezel, that we saw in the Mishnah, Pligi, and that's where you saw the crown with the points facing up, in the Mishnah. Lokach, we saw an inverted crown indicating Lo Pligi. That's the Mishnah's presentation. What is the opinion of these other Tanoim? We'll see the Tanakama, and we'll see Reb Shimon ben Elozer. If you look at the chart, if you take Reb Shimon ben Elozer, for example, at the leftmost column of the chart, you're going to see that Reb Shimon Elozer says regarding Kidesh, there is no Machlokes. Regarding Boal, there is a Machlokes. Regarding Gezel, there is a Machlokes. And by the way, that point you can see in the Mishnah, that Gezel is a Machlokes. Regarding Lokach, no Machlokes. And that is what we inferred from the Mishnah as well. So from the Gezel Lokach standpoint, we're not going to find any inconsistency. But when you get to the Kidesh Boal point of things, there we find that our Mishnah does not jive with Reb Shimon ben Elozer. When we say our Mishnah, again, we want to emphasize the Mishnah, two cases, and the two cases inferred from the Mishnah. So we just gave you a taste of where the Mishnah does not jive with Reb Shimon Elozer. And we mentioned the issue of complexity, and that's simply magnified by the case that you have here four cases and three opinions. That's four times three, making 12 different possibilities. Our hope is, in Gemara markings, that through highlighting these with the markings, we are able to make things a little more clear in the text itself. The chart, of course, can stand on its own as a useful educational device, but we want to try to show how in the text also we can navigate efficiently. So the question has already been presented: who is our Mishnah? It's not the Tanakhama, and it's not Reb Shimon Elazar Desanya. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Loi Nechleku, Rabbi Tafrin, Rabbi Kiva, Al Shekidesh, Achas Michomesh Noshim, V'Einu Yodea is a Kidesh. A man who married one of five women and he doesn't know to whom he had offered the money in exchange for their marriage. Sheminiach Ksuba Beinem Mistalik. He will have to divorce them, and he also puts the Ksuba amount amongst them and walks away. Now, the point here is that Rabbi Akiva will agree with that. What about our Mishnah? In the case of the Mishnah, there was no agreement between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. According to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, there is agreement. They don't argue over this case. And that, by the way, is why we have the inverted crown shape. You can see then how this contrasts with the Mishnah. So then, Alma Nechleku, what do they argue about? And we dashed underline this, again, as a means of highlighting something to focus on. What is a point of controversy? Al Sheboal, where a man entered his marital relationship, his initial offering of marriage was through an act of intimacy. That's what he did with the woman. And of course, that's an acceptable thing from the standpoint of Mishnah law, as the first Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin teaches. Might seem odd to many of our ears, but the root of that is in fact Shitas Rav that you see in the Gemara itself. But nevertheless, if a person did that, he was Boal, one of five women, and doesn't know whom. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Meniach Ksuba B'nei Mustalek. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ad Sheyishalem L'chol Achas V'Achas. In the case of Boal, Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says he has to pay each one. What did we infer from our Mishnah regarding Boal? That there was no machlokas. That's why before this Tanaic source we had the inverted crown, and here you have an upright crown. So the Mishnah cannot agree with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar regarding the matters of Kidesh and Boal. We continue. Loi nechleku Rabbi Tav Rabbi Kiva al shelokach mekach mechamisha b'nei Adam v'ein yodea meizamem lokach. Rabbi Akiva will not argue with Rabbi Tavrin in the case of a man who bought from one of five people, doesn't know from whom he bought. Now he owes money for the purchase. What should he do? Sheminiach demei mekach b'nei mestal. He puts the amount, the purchase price, amongst the five men and walks away. Lo nechleku elo shegozal mechamisha. A man stole from one of five. She'omer Rabbi Tarfon. Here they argue. Rabbi Tarfon says, "Meniach zeh b'nei mestalek." You put the amount stolen, a single amount, amongst the five, and walk away. Rabbi Kiva Omer ad she'shaling zeh l'chol echad v'echad. You'd have to pay the stolen amount to each one. Midika Omar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar b'kidesh v'lokach lo pligi. From the fact that Rabbi Shimon also says regarding kidesh, which was in the resha, and the case of lokach in the seifa, that there is no machloikas, michlal de tanakama sovar pligi. Must be that the Tanakhama of Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds that in the case of Kidesh and Lokach, there would be a machlokes. Let us, before going on in the Gemara, according to the Tanakhama, let's keep one finger in the Gemara and one finger let's place on the chart. The column marked Tanakhama, what does he say about Kidesh? He says there would be a machlokes. What does our Mishnah say about Kidesh? Also machlokes. So they agree, Tanakhama and Mishnah can jive or coexist with regard to their approach to Kidesh. What about the case of Lokach? According to the Tanakama. Well, Tanakama says Lokach Pligi. What does our Mishnah say about Lokach? Loi Pligi. So you can see that with regard to the issue of Lokach, our Mishnah cannot be in accordance with the Tanakama. So now the Gemara spells all of this out. Money. Our Mishnah is in accordance with whom? E Tanakama. If our Mishnah were in accordance with the Tanakama, listening, the Mishnah should have taught as part of a machlokes, Rabbi Karfin, Rabbi Kiva, listening, Kidesh v'lokach. Now, the Mishnah does mention Kidesh as a machlokes, but it doesn't mention Lokach as a machlokes. So it can't be in accordance with the Tanakama. E Rabbi Shimon Elazar, if our Mishnah, which features machlokes in between Rabbi Karfin and Rabbi Kiva, is in accordance with Shimon Elazar, then listening, Boal v'gozal. Regarding Boal, there's a machlokes tanoim, and if you look in the source of Shimon Elazar, you can see that Boal has an upright crown. What about our Mishnah and Boal? Well, we inferred that at the beginning of the Gemara, you see an inverted crown. So regarding Boal, our Mishnah cannot be in accordance with Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Now, with regard to Gozal, by the way, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, regarding Gozal, you'll notice there was an upright crown in the Tanaic source of Shimon Elazar, and in our Mishnah there was an upright crown regarding Gozal, so there's no problem on that score. But on Boal, there is a problem. I hope everyone is appreciating what we're trying to accomplish with our extensive use of the markings to be able to see in the text how the Mishnah does not jive with either the opinion of Shimon Elazar nor the Tanakama. The Gemara continues, Li'oilam Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Our Mishnah, in fact, is in accordance with Rav Shimon Elazar. Umay Kidesh. Our Mishnah spoke about Kidesh as being a point of machlokes. Kidesh Bebia. The initial marriage was accomplished, the initial stage of marriage was accomplished through Bia. Now, what did Rav Shimon ben Elazar say regarding Bia? Notice, there was the upright crown. So that the Mishnah, when it spoke about Kidesh, it was Kidesh through Bia. And in a case of Kidesh of Bia, and again, I can't emphasize this enough, the Mishnah used the word Kidesh, but it means through Bia. So that our Mishnah is just like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, because as we said before, Boal was the problematic point. The answer is that don't separate Kidesh from Bia, but rather Kidesh mentioned in the Mishnah is Bia. The Gemara now continues in explaining why it was necessary, what value is there in teaching the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon regarding Kidesh and regarding Gezel. Tana Kidesh lehodiach hakoychet de Rabbi Akiva. It taught the case of Kidesh to show us how far Rabbi Akiva goes. Diafal gav the isur de rabbanan avad konis. Now the Kidesh spoken about here is Kidesh through Bia. And as we mentioned earlier, the three ways of accomplishing the initial stage of marriage: Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. The idea of marrying a woman, in other words, your initial meeting up with the woman and offering her marriage in exchange for intimacy is something that Rav in the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin says one should not do. It's true, it takes effect. The Mishnah says it takes effect, but one should not do it. So there's an element of violation of a, we'll say, an Isur Durabonin has been violated, a rabbinic violation, if one is Mekadesh through Bia. In the scheme of things, we'd say it's a low-level offense. It's a rabbinic offense. Yet, Rabbi Akiva says, if you did that, you were Mekadesh through Bia, one of five women, and you don't know who it was, and each woman is claiming, I'm the one, You've got to pay each one. We're showing you how far Rabbi Akiva goes, as the Gemara says. Let's read that again. To show us how far Rabbi Akiva goes, even though all he violated was an Isur Drabbanan Konis, we impose this fine upon him of having to pay each one. Let us look together at the Rashi. Rashi that we're looking at is found on the third narrow line. Tana kiresh v'yel lodicha kechid de Rabbi Kiva, the surah de Rabbanan hu kovid, the Rav mangid. Mangid means lashes. Rav would impose lashing, aman de mekadesh v'biyah. V'ein kani surah de Raisa, and there's no Torah level violation here. Afilu hachi konis. Nevertheless, Rabbi Kiva imposes a knas. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Tana Gezel, the Mishnah taught the case of Gezel, Lahodia Chakoichid Rabbi Tarfon, to show us how far Rabbi Tarfon goes in leniency. The Afagav, the Sur Do Raisa Ovad, Loi Konis. That even though the man violated theft, which is prohibited by the Torah, nevertheless, even though it's a serious offense, Rabbi Tarfon does not expect him to pay each one, and that means Rabbi Tarfon is not imposing any fine. Before we continue, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading and a structural note. Isha Sholcha Midas Hayam B'Chazoka Mesuyam. A woman went abroad with a certain status upon her. She comes back telling us information that changes her status. The diamond that you see in the Mishnah is simply a means of introducing four Dalid Mikrim Shanim, four different cases. Before learning the Mishnah, once again, we have to sensitize ourselves to an original status that the woman had. When we speak about a status in this context, we're speaking primarily about is she considered bound to Yibum? Is she, let's say, a candidate for Yibum? Or is she the opposite, not fit for Yibum? The Mishnah. Ho'isha shaholcha hi ubaylo miladina sayam. Uvno imohem. A woman went abroad with her husband and their son. At this point, we must emphasize she's considered asur liyibum. She would have no connection with a yavam, as you have a man with a child. Her husband has a child. Now she comes back from abroad. Ubasa v'omra meis bali v'achakach meis bini. My husband died and then my son died. So by saying that, she is maintaining the Isur to the Yavam. She's saying her husband died with leaving a child, so there's no Yibum. Nemenis. The information she is telling us here is in accordance with her previous known status. So she's believed. Meis bini v'achakach meis baili eino nemenis. If she tells us that first her child died and then her husband died, she's in effect changing her status. She's saying that she's now to do Yibum. When we saw her initially, she was not a candidate for Yibum. So the Mishnah says she's not believed. Ein on emenes. The choshishin l'dvoreha, we, though, take into consideration that which she said, to what extent, v'choyletzes v'lo misyabemes. Now, what is she saying? She is saying to us that she's a candidate for Yibum. Well, we're not going to let her do Yibum. That, it said, v'lo misyabemes. That's the lo eino nemenes. However, we do insist on chalitza. She's got to release herself from the Yavam. In effect, she was saying that she is bound to the Yavam. So we have to see to it that she gets released from the Yavam. So there you see a manifestation of choshishin l'dvar. If we take into consideration in a partial fashion of that which she said. We continue with another case. We have a woman that was becheskas heter liyavam. That's why we wrote this in between the lines. And she comes and tells us the following. Nitan li ben b'nesayam. A child was born to me abroad. Now, by saying that a child is born to me, you're already setting up a possibility of non-yibum. V'omra, and she tells us, in addition to telling us that she had a child, she tells us, Meispini v'achakach meispaili. The child died, and then the husband died. So you have a man dying without children. Ne'menes. She is believed. Once again, the woman had a cheskas heter liyavam initially, and now she's telling us information that maintains that same status. So she'd be allowed to liyavam. Meis bali v'acharkach meis bini. If she says that first the husband died and then the child died, well, that's describing a man who died with a child. The wife, then there's no yibum. Einon emenes. She's not believed to change her original status. And therefore, she's viewed as having a connection to the yavam. V'choyshishin l'dvorah, v'choletzes, v'lo misyabemes. We take into consideration partially that which she said. Now, what was she saying for us? She was saying that she's also to the yavam. Okay, so that's manifest in the phrase, we don't let her do yibum. However, by her word, she was with no connection to the yavam. She said her husband died leaving a child. So with regard to that, we insist on the Einon Emenes, and that's why we insist on Chalitza. According to her words, there would be no Chalitza, because she's saying that her husband died leaving a child. That's a situation where there would be no Chalitza. So we say Einon Emenes, and we insist she does Chalitza. Nitan li yavam b'nisayam. Now here's a woman who had left the Cheskas Heter Lashuk, a woman that had a husband, no known brothers, so there's no Yibum. That's what was when she left. Then she tells us, Nitan Li Yavam Misayam, her mother-in-law, basically her husband's mother, had a child, with the husband's father. And with the birth of that, there's a birth of a yavam. And with that information, of course, she's not going to be muteres l'shuk, so she's changing her status. Omra, and then she tells us, meis bali v'acharkach meis yivmi. My husband died, and then my brother-in-law died. Yivmi v'acharkach bali. My brother-in-law died, and then my husband died. Either way, there is no yibum. Nemenes, she's believed because her original status is being maintained as being someone who's heter l'shuk, no yibum. Holcha hi ubailo v'yivoma l'medinas hayam. A woman with her husband and her husband's brother went abroad. Now, a scenario like that is describing a woman who's becheskas isur l'shuk. She's not allowed to marry out because you have a woman whose husband has a brother, and of course the woman is without children. Omra, she tells us, Meis Baili V'achakach Meis V'achakach Yivmi. My husband died and then my brother-in-law died. Yivmi V'achakach Baili, or my brother-in-law died and then my husband died. She's telling us that she is not bound. Eino Ne'emenes. She is not believed. She'ein ho'isho ne'emenes lomar meis yivmi shetinose. A woman is not believed to say that her brother-in-law died to enable her to marry Lashuk. Velo meso achoso shetikones lebeso. Nor is a woman believed to say that her sister died, her sister who was married to a particular man. So a woman is not believed to say that her sister died, enabling her to marry the sister's husband. So you have testimonies that when a woman says mace, although a woman is believed to say mace ba'ali, she's not believed to say mace yivmi or mace achosi. V'ein ho'ish ne'emon lomar mace achi shiabim ishto. A man is not believed to say my brother died, leaving no children, in order to enable him to marry the wife, his sister-in-law. Velo meso ishto, she saw choso. Nor is a man believed to say, regarding his own wife, that my wife died, which would enable him, if it were true, to marry her sister. Before we continue, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei Nivne heading. A triangle is featured. And we've noted, Afapi Shebederach Klal Hamazake Get Liishtoi Lo Yochul Hazachiyah. In general, a man who intends to divorce his wife, he prepares a divorce document. And he appoints a man to accept the get on behalf of his wife. We call that a Shliach LeKabola in Gittin terms. Someone who is designed to, upon his receiving of it, the woman, wherever she is, immediately becomes divorced. That does not work in the realm of Gittin. That's called, we say, there's no zechiyah in the case of a get. Ma yehei hadin. Oh, maybe we should say one more word. The word zechiyah means to benefit someone. There's a concept that if I want to benefit someone, I can make someone, let's say, a possessor of something that would be to his benefit, even without giving it directly to the receiver, but rather appointing someone else to receive it on that individual's behalf. That's, of course, where it's to his benefit. But to cause someone a loss, to cause someone a detriment from the distance, through an agent who receives on his behalf, that cannot be done. That's in Hebrew we say zochin le'adam shlo b'fanav ve'im choven le'adam ela b'fanav. Zochin is to benefit someone. We can benefit someone even if it's not in front of him, but we cannot create detriment to an individual unless it's face to face. So the general perception is that a woman, it's not to her benefit to be divorced. It's beneficial to a woman to be married. We go on though. Ma yehei hadin, number one, b'mokoim yavam, where the divorce is going to enable the woman to avoid yibum. It's not a divorce that's simply, that is simply designed to set the woman free. That's not beneficial. But a case where I'm setting the woman free from her husband and thereby enabling her to avoid being bound to a yavam, what do you say then? Is it to her benefit to be extricated or freed from having to deal with a yavam? Number two, the Mokom Ktota. Let's say a couple were feuding with one another. Is it beneficial for the woman to receive a get and thereby enable her to be free from the feuding? Now, we turn to the Mishnah. Let's turn to the Gemara. Bomine Rovo me Rav Nachman. Hamezake get liishtoi bemokoim yavam mahu. The uniqueness of this case is the situation of there is a yavam. do we say that the receipt on the part of the agent on behalf of the woman is beneficial? Mahu. Kevon de Sanyole, since she may very well hate her brother-in-law, Zechus hu lo, it is beneficial for her to be freed from having to deal with him. Vizochin Lodom Shalom Bafonav, and the principle states that we are able to benefit people even if the ultimate beneficiary is not present, but I'm doing it through an agent, as we explained. Oy Dilma, or possibly came on the Zimnin de Rachmo lay, since at times sister-in-laws actually have affection toward their brother-in-laws. Rachmo loves him or has affection toward him. Chov hu lo, it would be to her detriment to be divorced and hence be excluded from Ibum. V'ein choven la'odom shelo b'fonav, and we don't impose detriment or loss upon a person unless you're in front of the person himself. Namely, agency will not be effective if it results in a chova, a detriment. Omar lay. So Rav Nachman answers, Tanina, by reading the Mishnah, you can answer this question. The Mishnah answers this question. Now, as far as I am concerned personally, it's not going to be so self-evident just by reading the Gemara. But after we read the Gemara, we'll then turn to Rashi and we'll gain an appreciation of Rav Nachman's answer. So Rav Nachman says, if you're asking about the relationship between a woman and her brother-in-law in terms of her attitude, does she hate him, does she love him, what's to be expected, then check out the Mishnah. And it says in the Mishnah, V'choshishin l'dvorel v'choyletzes v'lo misyabemes. And we saw this expression twice in the Mishnah. Both cases involving issues of Yibum. And now the Rashi. V'choshishin l'dvorel, midiktoni b'travayu. The fact that in both cases, we had in the opening of the Mishnah a woman who was b'cheskas asura liyavam. We had a second case of a woman who was b'cheskas muteres liyavam. And in both of these cases we saw choshishin, that we, even though we had said we don't believe her, but we take into consideration partially what she said. And this showed up in the Mishnah, number one, Biyotza, Becheskas Heter Lashok, a woman who initially had the status of no Yibum connection, Ubo, Vihzikas Moliovam, and she then came back and stated, she changed her status by saying she is bound to the Yavam, Vikotani Chushishin. The Mishnah used that expression, Veloam Rinon, and we don't say simply Ukmo Achazoko. We disregard her words altogether and set her upon her original status, Vitinose, and she should marry Lashuk, Deha Vadai Meshakra, because a woman like this is definitely lying, Mishum de Rachmo Le Kaomra. She's trying to change her status to connect herself up to the Yavam because of her love for him. So we don't say that she is definitely lying. Alma lo machsekina lo bahava. So we see that we don't make the assumption from her vantage point. We don't say she is definitely in love. So there's no from this standpoint, there's no assurance that she has love for him. And similarly, in the case of a woman who departed from us with a yibum, a yavam connection, and then she establishes herself through her testimony that she is not connected to the Yavam. Kagon, Nitan Li Ben, Umeis Bali, Vachar Bani. The woman who said, I had a child and then my husband died and then the child died, v'katoni, and regarding that, it said in the Mishnah, choshishin, v'lo tisyabim, v'lo amrinon, we don't say, vadai, mishakra, she's definitely lying, mishum desanyo le ko'omron, because she hates the yavam, she's trying to disconnect herself and change her original status. Alma zimnin delo sanyo le. So you see from here that sometimes she's not full of hate. Once again, we don't say she's definitely lying out of hate. Alma mesafkalon. So from through the total picture, you see that we are in doubt. V'gabi mezake get nami mesafkalon. And likewise, with regard to mezake get, where there is a yavam, we have this doubt. I rachmole v'chovulo, does she have affinity toward him, and then the get would be not to her benefit, because if a woman receives a get, she's divorced from her husband, then she's totally disconnected from the brother-in-law. I sanyo le uzuchus hulo, maybe she has antipathy toward him and the get would be beneficial, v'tachlots, and as a result of our doubt, so we said v'tachlots v'lo tisyabim, the solution therefore is chalitza but no ibum. So that when it comes to the issue of, as we just saw in the Rashi, the issue of the mezake with the get, that's not a chalitza issue, it's a simple issue of a woman married to a man who happens to have a brother. We are in doubt. We continue in the Gemara. Omar le Ravina le Rava. Hamezake get li ishtoi b'mokom k'tota mahu. A man who attempts to deliver a divorce document to his wife through this agency, for immediate divorce through receipt on the part of the agent. Does this work in a case of a feuding couple? Since she's fighting with him, it's to her benefit to be released, not bound to him, and the giving of the get through the shliach lekabbalah would be effective. Oy dilma, nicha degufa odif law. Or do we say that matters that are, let's say, beneficial to her own body, her personal body comfort, is an overriding factor? As far as the personal body comfort is concerned, so of course we're making reference to the idea of being considered a married woman. There is a different version in the Bach, which might be a little easier for us as we go on in the Gemara. Instead of reading Nicha de Gufa, he has a Loshon Tzavsa de Gufa. Tzavsa Gufa means someone that is keeping company with her. They might be feuding, but she has a man with him. And as far as the significance to a woman of having a man with her is illustrated by the next few lines of the Gemara. Toshma, Diomar Reish Lakish, Tav Lemeitav Tandu Milamesiv Armelo. It is better for a woman, and we're speaking from a woman's standpoint, to be Tandu. Tandu means Gufim Shnayim. Two bodies. There's me and my husband. Whatever his status is, better that milamesiv armelo than to be sitting alone like a widow. Abai Omar, deshum shamno gavro, a woman whose husband is short like an ant. Shumshamno is an ant, and it means, as Rashi says, Baal Gutz Kinemal, very short, very, we'll say, an undesirable type male companion in his physical stature. But a woman that has a husband that's like that, Kursei Becharsa Romula, her Kursei is her chair, will be placed amongst the important people of the community. In effect, a a woman that is considered, that is married, a married woman has the ability to sit amongst the important ones of her region. Rav Popa Omar, the Naftso Gavro, Tikri Basifi Bova Vitesiv. A woman whose husband is a wool carter. This is a profession that's considered of lowly significance. One who is engaged in beating wool, removing debris from wool. But nevertheless, a woman whose husband has such a, we'll say, a lowly profession as that, she'll nevertheless summon her husband to sit with her at the threshold of their door. Rav Ashi Omar, a fourth expression, the Kulsa Gavra. Kulsa, Rashi explains, is a man that comes from a family whose background is questionable. Lo Bayo Talfachi Likidra. She'll, a woman who's married to a man, even if he's of questionable background, will do with very little. Now the Gemara says Talfachi. Talfachi is a food item, sometimes translated as lentils. Rashi says Adoshim, very cheap, inexpensive food. She won't request of her husband even that. The main thing from her is to be married. Now, you might be wondering, why is that such, that a woman would be willing to do with such, say, lowly or undesirable type spouses? And from the context of the Gemara, it seems to be, even in the face of a feuding, she has what to benefit from. So you'll ask, what does she really have to benefit? Tana. So it's revealed in the following. V'kulon mezanois v'toilois v'balein. All of these women can... Now, again, it's strictly forbidden. You're dealing with a married woman, but she, if she were to yield to her evil inclination and engage in harlotry and become pregnant as a result, she'll be able to get away with it by claiming that her pregnancy is because of her husband. So by having a husband attached to her, it might be worth it. As the Gemara said, Nicha or Tzafsa de Gufa Adifla, and that seems to be what the Gemara is answering with this answer beginning with the Toshma, that in fact a woman will, it's worth it to a woman to be married to whatever kind of husband he might be, because as the source says here, Kulan Mizanois Vitalis Babalan. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.